Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the very first show like this for Coach Lalisa. So we just appreciate you for tuning in this morning here on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And this is Coach Lalisa J. Williams, and I am thrilled out of my mind to be here to share with you all this morning of the Coach Lalisa Show. Over the years, over the past about 4 years, has gone in many directions. Like one of my Facebook friends was talking about earlier today, about how you got the vision, but you may go in different directions as the vision is being fulfilled. You know, I think about Abraham, and God had given him the vision that he would be the father of many, many nations. But he went a different direction from what God had initially planned for him. However, the vision still came to fruition. And, you know, that's one of my mottos for people, is that you got to have a vision for your life and bring that vision to fruition. Well, this show, and we're going to be doing other morning shows like this. We still have our 7 o'clock a.m. radio show on Tuesdays with my co-host, Professor Terry Benjamin. By the way, I want to give him a shout-out this morning. He is the keynote speaker down at Essex County College for their social work day. So this is where pretty much the entire Essex County, Union County, and I'm sure other counties are invited. All of the social social entities come together, anyone providing any types of social services, they storm Essex County College. They take over that room, which holds close to 500 people. There are vendors galore, and he's down there. He's the keynote speaker today, and then you have all the vendor services, and then they finish with a nice big lunch. It's just a beautiful, awesome, powerful, wonderful affair that is pretty much coordinated by not only the entire social science department, the students, the professors, and everyone, but it is headed up by Professor Arzilia Saheed. And so we want to give them a shout out this morning. And it is so apropos, I guess, that they would be doing that this morning, and this would be the morning that we would launch a major social ill. There are fun things like your social media, your Facebook, your Twitter, and all of that wonderful stuff. Going out Friday night, partying, all kinds of wonderful social activities, and Facebook for that matter. But then there's a dark side of society, and a very dark side. There's murder. There's drug addiction. There's poverty. There's a lot of dark, there's some dark sides in the political realm. There's another dark side that is in our families, and it's known as child abuse or child incest. And the focus of our show today, and we'll be doing this topic, the main theme, all month long. You know, in case you're not aware, April, the month of April, has been designated as, in addition to other things, but it has been designated as the National Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. Now, sexual abuse with children is very devastating. It's traumatizing. It can be very stagnating. Sexual abuse for a child can just totally rip a child's life apart. And, you know, no doubt it holds very similar aspects even for the child abuser. I don't believe that, you know, first of all, the devil who would definitely get into a man or a woman's heart and cause them to commit child abuse and child molestation and these things, certainly the devil, he does not come because he loves you. He loves to hurt you. So I'm sure that even the abuser is going to suffer many, many things. But, you know, there are some things that need to be said as it relates to sexual abuse. Now, a person might say, well, you know, Coach Lalisa, we see that you do, you know, lots of different things. And you're here and you're there and you're everywhere. A lot of people, I'm sure this is what they say. They say it to me. So I can imagine what they say when I'm not around. And, you know, when the Bible says that, to whom much is given. And I submit that all of the things I do are given to me by God. He's given me a talent, a gift, a skill, or an ability, and a dream and a vision. And then I'm just a runner. That's all I am. I'm nothing special. I'm just a runner. But it does say that to whom much is given, much is required. And so what was required of me, so I know some people look and see all that I'm doing, and for some they might think that's wonderful, is great, whatever. But if you were there when I was 5 years old and had to submit and succumb to sexual molestation, you may think twice. And if there's anyone who says, boy, I wish I had what she's got, oh, you don't want what I had. No, because then to do that means you would have had to be molested, sexually abused, not once, not twice, not every summer when you went to granddaddy's house, but it was an ongoing thing because the person from time to time moved in with us. He was a very close family member. He was not my father. He was like a father. And he would come in and live. He was not a stepfather. So he was a blood relative to my mother. And he would come and stay with us. And when he was there, the abuse was ongoing. And the sexual molestation. So from my memory is from the time I was about 5. very young, I can remember, you know, being touched. I can remember being told to touch parts of his body. I can remember it lasted until I was age 18. So it moved eventually from touching and rubbing and poking. I don't want to be too graphic because I don't know the age level of people who will listen to this message. But I do need to be very open because, see, for me to break the silence, it not only frees me, but it frees others, because the part that I want to talk about today is about how to forgive, how to utterly write out, have love in your heart and forgiveness for the people who have hurt us. And so, but I need to describe to you the hurt, the level of pain. So here is a person that was a blood family member, was constantly around our family. Everyone loved this person. He was funny, witty, and somewhat, in many ways, very special. He got a lot of respect when he came around. And so I started out in life confused because I had these very mixed emotions. It's a wonderful person, but behind closed doors, he's molesting me. Now, at that time, I knew nothing about molestation, not anything. It was not a TV show. And back in those days, the TV shows were Lucille Ball, Danny Thomas, you know, and things like that. And there were, you didn't even see a bedroom in those TV shows. You certainly didn't see children being molested. And so everything was, you know, Daddy was wonderful. It was Leave It to Beaver. And, you know, kids were, it might have been a little rambunctious like Beaver was. But nothing ever like sexual harassment. I mean, sexual assault and sexual abuse. So here I was, this kid that this was happening to. Meanwhile, immediately, signs of child sexual abuse began to show up in my life, from bedwetting. So I'm wetting to bed and getting in trouble for that. You know, my mother's answer to that was, this is a problem. You're messing up the sheets. You're messing up your clothes. You're causing me extra laundry detergent. And I just, and like, why can't you stop wetting to bed? You're old enough to be able to go to the bathroom. So here I am getting in trouble, and back then you could beat your children, not like today. So I'm getting a beating every time I went into bed, so now I'm not feeling good about that either. Meanwhile, I'm going to school, and there, of course, are some of the same symptoms that follow almost every child that's being molested. And I know these same symptoms follow other childhood situations, so you can't look at every child that wets the bed or every child that's failing in school, you can't say, oh, they must be being molested. Who is the perpetrator? I don't think that's the answer. However, I think that there are situations in people's lives that you need to look at and want to know what's the root of it. If your child just has a weak bladder, well, then fine, take them to the doctor, get it fixed. But, and you know, to be one of seven children and, you know, no one else really struggling with this issue like this, you know, so let's look at maybe there's something else. So I'm going to school. Now I'm wetting the bed. And now, so the problem just exasperates. Grades are failing. Now you're being teased. And, you know, you're not the nicest smelling child if you're wetting the bed, because many times, because I didn't want to get beat by my mother or my father. At that time, he would be staying there. And, you know, they were together at some part of my childhood. And so now I got to cover it up. So I learned very early how to cover things up. So now I'm covering up this bedwetting as much as I could. You know, try to wake up in the middle of the night, try to change the sheets, which was always very hard to do considering there was always a couple other people sleeping in the bed with me. So, you know, my sister and, you know, it was seven of us. So, you know, it ain't like you had your own room, your own bed kind of thing. So it was kind of hard to, you know, switch the sheets out. Had I been an only child, it probably would have been much easier. I could have gotten up in the middle of the night, changed the sheet. But, you know, it was so funny. I always woke up shortly after, you know, I went to bed. And I remember asking God, you know, at some point in my life, like, God, you know, there was no way you could have woken me up, like, right before, you know. But nonetheless, it's, you know, part of my experience. And so You know, so covering up things, unforgiveness, going through the motions and going through the years. Now the grades are failing. And you know, and any of you all that are teachers, you are in the school system and you understand education and learning and all of that. You know that if a child is failing in these very, very early grades, kindergarten, I wasn't HDAD, I wasn't any of those things you could put a label on. You know, it was just that I went to school and I did not do any work. It's very, very, very simple. And so, you know, it just became a big problem. Now, I say all that to say that I had to, you know, kind of paint you a picture there of my background into this sexual abuse. Because, again, I'm sure that not everyone will have experienced this and not to these levels. Everyone's level could be different, and that's why we have to treat people with great sensitivity and understand that, you know, and here's some statistics. Let's just give you some statistics. They say one in every four girls will be molested, or children really, under the age of 13. But there's also statistics that say that 44% of the victims of sexual assault, rape, or incest is at under the age of 18, and that 80% are under the age of 30. And now, in the United States alone, every two minutes, someone in the United States does experience sexual assault. Now, there are all kinds of statistics for, you know, sexual assault. There, you know, and a lot of times, if these statistics are not being reported, then it's going to be very hard to identify or to have, you know, true numbers. But boys are also abused. You know, there are different types of abuse. There's physical abuse. There's verbal abuse. Some children are cursed out a lot. The children actually die from sexual abuse. You know, I just have to thank God that I'm still alive, and that's why I'm committed to sharing some of the things that set me free. That's why my theme is thriving beyond sexual abuse. God has made me to thrive beyond sexual abuse, and He's also now commissioned me to go and teach other people how to thrive beyond it. I am so happy and excited that people are survivors. I love that. Wonderful, great, let's celebrate. But I want to see people go to even a higher level, and that's to actually be a thriver. And thriving beyond, see, surviving is that, okay, I made it out, but my life's a wreck. I don't love anybody. I can't get close to anyone. I have all this unforgiveness in me, but I survived it. I'm still living. But when you thrive beyond sexual abuse, see, and that's where we're going to get by the end of the month, our last section of this broadcast will really deal with what does it look like to truly thrive beyond sexual abuse. And again, I support every organization out there that is helping people to just survive. But it's time, and there are many organizations that are also helping people to thrive. And so I fit into the thriving end of the industry. But, you know, child abuse and people who molest children. My abuser, you know, it never got reported. I never said a word to anyone until I was late in my 30s. It never got reported to the police. You know, sometimes this is going to happen. It's not the way it should happen. It should be, you know, reported. But every family deals with things differently. So I've known families to say, you know, I'm not going to report my uncle, my brother, my father. You know, there are people who are being molested right
as we speak. As a matter of fact, you know, we just want to pray right now for all victims of child abuse. And we just ask that God will do for them. I would pray that he would do more for them than he's done for me. He's done everything for me. You know, God is so complete for me. God did not leave any stone unturned. And so my prayer is that everything and more that God would do for every single abuser. And then I can say emphatically that God, Almighty Father God, three in one, Jesus Christ of the Holy Spirit, caused me to thrive. And that's what I pray. That's my prayer for everyone, that they reach their level of thriving. So by the end of the, like I said, by the end of the month, we will get to what does that really look like. But where we're going to start today is to start with forgiveness. If you are a victim, forgiveness is going to be your greatest weapon against the negative thoughts, the negative feelings, the resentment, the hatred, the guilt, and the shame. Forgiveness is where it starts. And we're going to go a lot of other places. We're going to deal with the shame and the pain. We're going to deal with what happens when we have to see this person. Because in my case, the person was a very close family member to my mother, and I had to see that person. It wasn't like I could avoid seeing them. So I had to get forgiveness like really fast, but I did not do it on my own. God did it, you know, and he did, you know, some things God speaks to us very audible and tells us exactly what he's doing. And sometimes he just does it. And you don't even know. It's just something you experience. So it's not like he sat down and gave me a blueprint for forgiveness other than the scripture, which simply says, as I have forgiven you, you must forgive. So that's my blueprint. If there's any blueprint for forgiveness, God said, because I did forgive you, now you can forgive others. Just so happened for me, the reason why is I think it might be easier, and some people may think it's easy for me to talk about forgiveness. And one of the reasons is that I know that I was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I know that. I stole. I prostituted. I ended up in jail. I lied. I cheated. I did a lot of things. So I knew that I had every reason and every right to really respect and value God's forgiveness. Now, some people who have who came into this world and they never did nothing. You know, they were the good kid. They obeyed their parents. They never skipped school. They never stole. They never told a lie. They never cheated. They never, you know, did anything. So for that person may struggle with forgiving someone who has really dogged them out or hurt them or molested them or something. Because when they hear, well, God's forgiven you, but they might be thinking in their subconscious mind, well, I really didn't do anything for God to really have to forgive me of a whole lot. But for someone like me, who was a dirty, rotten scoundrel, yeah, I understand the power of forgiveness. So, yeah, I can forgive a molester. I can forgive a murderer. See, like Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, and he said to his Father, Father, forgive them. And, you know, many of you who attend Good Friday services, you're going to hear some preacher is going to preach that, or some speaker is going to preach that word Friday. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But Jesus said, I've been tempted in all points like you. I know every experience you've ever had. So was Jesus a dirty, rotten scoundrel? Absolutely not. He was the only one who was exactly righteous. We are not. He's the only one. He is righteousness. So that's, you know, that helps me with forgiveness. That's why I can forgive. But I must add that for God, you know, people would say, well, why is it so easy for, you know, for God to forgive? And people think, well, you know, that's Jesus. Of course, he can forgive people. But here's the thing. God is love. He is love. If you love, you will understand forgiving. You cannot love and be have unforgiveness in your heart for people. You may initially, they may do something to hurt you that may make you want to not forgive them. But the minute you take that thought captive to the knowledge of God, you let it go. You say, no, I got to forgive them. People say, well, I don't have to forgive them, or I can forgive them, but I don't have to forget. So they would say to me, Lalisa, how did you forget? Why do you forget what happened to you? Well, I mean, hey, it's either I can sit up and wake up in the middle of the night screaming from nightmares about someone creeping into my bedroom. Oh, I actually have someone in my bedroom because it's my wonderful husband, so I don't have to worry about somebody creeping in my bedroom. Somebody's in my bedroom. And, you know, but forgiveness is where we want to be. Now, how did I get to love? Because I straight hated myself. I thought that it was my fault. I thought that somehow I was the weakest of the five girls, and that's why I was picked on, because he saw that I was weak. I was the, you know, I felt that I was the darkest, dark-skinned. And in those days, if you were a dark-skinned child, you know you had a rough time. You were called names, Blackie, Darkie, Charcoal. So, you know, I was thinking like that, you know. I was the smallest in stature. So you're weak, you're pitiful. And then I, you know, so I thought, hey, this is something that, you know, I caused somehow. Maybe I was too clingy. Maybe I was that kid that was always hanging around him. Maybe I was that kid that was always trying to sit on his lap for attention because of seven children. My oldest sister got a lot of attention, I felt. My brother was older than me, and then, you know, of course, the babies always get more. So maybe I felt that, you know, I needed attention. I thought maybe that was the problem. And so I sought the attention from where I could get it. But the reality is that God finally had to show me, there's no way you could have caused it, period. I don't care if you sit on someone's lap. I don't care. I know children who sleep in the same bed with their fathers. Are we to assume that they're being molested? Absolutely not. You know, my husband has a daughter. You know, I can't even imagine him molesting her. And I see them together. You see? So forgiveness really helps in a lot of ways. And I'm bringing this topic out because it's happening so much. I know it's happening. You know it's happening. If you didn't know it was happening, just go and count one in every four. Just say one, two, three, four, that person. One, two, three, four, that person. And that will help you know the severity of this. It is very severe. And so we just, you know, again, want to encourage you. Pray for that you first and foremost, before you leave this phone line, before you get off this broadcast, before you leave this internet page, know that you must do three things. You must do three things. You must first and foremost understand that you must forgive yourself. Even if you think you did something wrong, forgive. Even if you did something wrong, forgive yourself. Number one, forgive yourself. And number two, forgive the person. Forgive that person or persons. Because when you hold on to unforgiveness, you will not be able to thrive. And we're going to get to the thriving by the time we get to the end of the show. But you must get, if you want to thrive in the way I'm talking about thriving, you cannot live in unforgiveness. You must learn to forgive. And just remember Jesus' words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People out of so, Lord, we ask that you empower every listener to this broadcast. Empower them, Lord God. Let them forgive. Now, I want to remind you to come back to the broadcast tomorrow. We'll be on at 7 a.m. And then on Friday, we'll be back at Thursday we'll be on at 4. I have a very, very special guest that I'm going to be interviewing tomorrow at 4 p.m. You'll see it posted on my Facebook page. Please go to facebook.com, Coach Lalisa,
And also for tomorrow, at later on tomorrow, we do have our wonderful Toastmasters meeting. And we invite you to check out our Performance Strategies Unlimited Training Institute page on Facebook. Going through this together, we are going higher and higher and higher. Abuse, and there are so many lessons to be learned. And I'm going to teach you some of the lessons that I've learned through my abuse. And one of them, I learned the power of forgiveness. And because I had to forgive him, I've learned to forgive everyone else. There's no one that can do anything worse than that. Okay? Amen? You got it? So the number one lesson from my abuse is that I learned how to forgive. And I don't know if I would have learned forgiveness any other way, but I thank God for it. I learned how to forgive, and now I can forgive anyone. I can forgive a supervisor who mistreats me. I can forgive friends who don't do what they say they will do. I can forgive myself every time I make a mistake. I'm telling you, that's what I got out of my abuse was the first thing. I'm going to give you things all month long that I got out of this abuse. But the first thing, foremost, is I learned how to forgive. God bless you. I hope you get the same thing. And we'll be back. Don't forget, come back tomorrow, 4, and then we'll see you on Friday, 9 o'clock. Have a powerful, powerful, powerful day. And let forgiveness reign and rule in your heart. God bless.
For tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.